Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. I'm reading through the Bible, and we're in the second chapter of Judges, and there are 23 verses in this chapter. And, of course, always commentary, and a lot of times the Lord will have me swing from one part of the Bible to the other to help people understand the Old Testament, and sometimes it'll go into the Old Testament to help you understand, for faith's sake, the new and the old, rather. Right, so let's read the header on this second chapter of Judges.
The Lord's messenger came to Bochim.
Okay. Now, the Lord's messenger is now in Los Angeles and is bringing messages to people all over the world. This messenger that they're talking about here in the second chapter of Judges came to Bochim. How do you spell that, Bochim?
B-O-C-H-I-M.
Okay, and verse 1 reads, okay, first of all, Father, we're here, two or more. There's more of us than two. And we ask that you anoint the tape with your word. You're here. We're as many as two or more gathered. You're here also. Anoint the reading of your word. And the word itself that you give through this message, Lord, the commentary and everything that's said on this tape, let not one word be said unless it comes from you, because you stated that when people shall arrest us, that we're not to even pay any attention or to think about what we're going to say when we're in the courtroom, because it will be you, Father, that will do the speaking through us. And I recall when I was in one courtroom, many times it always happens that way. They asked me, have you ever raped Susan Alamo's daughter? And I said, and your spirit came down and said, I never raped any water buffalo. And everybody just roared laughing. And it was the perfect thing to be said at that time. And so, Father, anoint this and open up the spiritual ears of our spirit inside. We know from the message that we heard yesterday and from messages throughout your word that this body that we're living in doesn't profit anything if it's not in service for the Lord, if it's not in service for you, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood is used only on this earth, is supposed to be used only for a container, to contain you, that you would drive this body of clay wherever you will, and let this body of clay say whatever you would have it say. But it's not the body of clay that's saying it. Primarily, it's the actual spirit of ours that is mingled with your spirit. It's your spirit that does the talking. And so we have to be very careful to do that, because he that endures, the one who endures your commandments, that continues doing what you tell them to do to the end, and those that continue to endure to persecutions and floggings and all the different things that are follow in your footsteps in us, those that endure to the end, the one who endures to the end shall be saved. But that clearly tells us that those who don't endure to the end shall not be saved. So that again shows us that once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Once saved and we endure to the end are the ones that shall be saved. So So, Father, we thank you for hearing, and I know that you've answered, because I already feel you directing my words. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's begin with verse 1. Give the header again.
The Lord's messenger came to Bochim. King James Version, verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.
Right. The Lord says he will never break his covenant with you. And so I want to read some scriptures out of this Bible. And it's coming from where?
Mark chapter 13, verse 9 through 13.
Here are some promises that the Lord is never going to break with you. Only you would break the promise. If you break the promise, then God doesn't keep his promise either. So always keep this in mind. Okay, so go ahead and start.
Verse 9, but be on your guard.
I'm telling you, I'm warning you, Jesus is saying, be on your guard. Then what?
For they will deliver you to the courts.
Yes, the Antichrist movement will deliver you to their courts, and I've been delivered there. Some people estimate that I've been in the courts over 100 times, far more than the Apostle Paul and the other disciples all put together. Then what?
And you will be flogged in the synagogue.
I've been beaten in there, and then what else?
And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake.
I've done that before governors and kings and presidents and the popes and kings and queens. Then what else?
For my sake as a testimony to them.
Yes, because they usually, a king and a governor and a queen will think that you'll cower down and that you'll just be so shaken to be in front of somebody supposedly so mighty as they are. But a president or king, that isn't what this is all about. Or Mike Tyson, that is not what, he's not what this is all about. A king is not what this is all, I'm talking about this life, it's all about, because Tyson and the king and the queen are all going to die. And somebody needs to tell Mike Tyson that you're not what it's all about, Mike. The reason that you have so much trouble is there's people just telling you, crowding around you, stealing your money, just telling you, oh, you're the greatest, when you know you've been whipped unmercifully and knocked out cold, and you know that you're not right with the Lord. You know that there's something in you that needs to be filled up. There's a hollow spot inside of you, and somebody has to have the guts or the godliness to stand up before you and tell you what's wrong with you. You need help. You need God's help. No one can help you but the Lord. Muhammad is dead and buried and gone, and he was never. It's a false religion, and you need to come to Christ and accept him as your personal Savior. You think you're a big shot because you've got a bunch of hangers-oners that are just saying, you're the greatest, give us some money, oh, invest in this, Mike, invest in that. They don't care anything about you at all. There's only one person that really cares about you, and that's the Lord, and anyone that will come to you and tell you the truth about yourself and what you need. You and every king and every queen and every president and every congressman and every governor, they need to know that this is, you are not what this life is all about. And you've got to learn to be humble. Humble yourself before God, because there are people much stronger and bigger than you were before. Samson could have whipped you to death, Tyson, probably without even the jawbone of an ass. He'd be hitting with the jawbone of an ass somebody that is actually making a big ass out of themselves. All right? So, if any of our witnesses or anybody is in front of Tyson, And you remember this message, tell him that this message is from the Lord, from me, okay, to him. And tell him, man, you better get into our church instead of Mohammedism and get rid of all these fair-weather friends of yours. And we don't want your money. God doesn't want your money, and he doesn't want, and we don't either. We just want to see your soul saved, man. And all you kings and queens, man and ma'am, you know, because you're not what this life is all about. You better get your life straightened for eternity before it's everlastingly too late. All right, so read that verse again.
9. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues.
Yeah, well, they do that to you too, Mike Tyson. You did. They delivered you to the courts. And it was probably for something that, you know, the girl just set you up and lied about you, and this is what you've stated, and it's obvious that that's what it was. And God knows, you know, that you probably, without a doubt, I'm sure God knows that maybe you will be saved. And if you will, he knows for sure that you will. And so you should just get going right now. You shouldn't be afraid of what kind of persecution is going to have. You're persecuted right now. People are ripping you off more than anybody. I mean, I've been around you and Don King, and people are just, oh, you're the greatest. You're a wonderful man. It's for sure you're going to win. And you've been beaten the last 3 times, and you're liable to get beaten more. People are just laughing and mocking at you. But the Lord never laughs and mocks at you, and that's for sure. His people never laugh and mock at people like yourself. We all just say, man, Mike needs help. He needs someone to just stand up and tell him the truth. Everybody says you need help, man. And there's only one that can help you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come in, yeah, you're going to be persecuted. But not probably any more than you are now. And if you are, so what? If you're a coward, fearful, and disbelieving, if you're more of a coward, see, we Christians are the least cowards on the face of this earth, because I'm coming against every false thing in this world. And I could care less what they think about me. I don't need a bunch of yes men around me, or a bunch of people saying, you're the greatest, Tony, you're the greatest, even though I know that I am, because I'm in the Lord, and the Lord is using me in a great and mighty way to preach the gospel to everyone, kings, queens, and so on. And so I've been called the world's greatest evangelist. So you're the world, at one time, were the world's greatest pug. But that didn't last long, and it's not going to, maybe it'll never happen again. Get your soul right with the Lord, Mike Tyson. And Don King, you know, only in America, man, you know, you have to face the Lord too. And, you know, this country and this world is not my final home, and don't let it be yours either. You should be waving the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that will be your final home if you do wave the banner of heaven, the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God, and you must receive Him, the whole Word of God, in order to enter heaven. All right, now continue on, please.
And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Verse 10. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Verse 11.
And it is being preached to all the nations. We're in all the nations ourselves preaching the gospel. We're on the website. We have our own television facilities now. And we're just putting together excellent music. And we've got plenty of good testimonies. The testimonies we have are those that we, Sue and I, won to the Lord. Nobody else. And then what else?
Verse 11. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say.
And I've been in courts at least 100, 200 times. People can't even imagine the amount of times I've been. They can't even assess. There's one court case after the other in the law books regarding me on when I was railroaded and all the other stuff. It's just a bunch of false things that the world has made out. It's like chasing the wind. Then what?
But say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it was amazing to me that the Holy Spirit said through me, I never raped any, because the girl was very big. It was Susie's daughter, and she was exceedingly fat and gross, and I've never had to. I mean, I've never went after girls in my entire life. They've always went after, you know, I've always had that. I can't see well enough. They always have to come up into my face for me to even get a date with them because I couldn't see them. And so, I mean, for me to go after this big, fat woman, the Lord had me say right in the courtroom, I have never raped any water buffalo. And everyone in the court laughed their heads off. And when I went to the probation officer the next day, remember, I was there for righteousness' sake, just like Jesus and Paul and all the others. She said, boy, you said a good one there. That's why they let you off. It's because of what the Lord said through me. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And to think that the Lord would say something like that, why, you'd probably just want to hold your tongue, because the poor girl, no matter how fat she was sitting right there in the courtroom and accused me of the most ridiculous things that you ever saw, such as using a harpoon to spearfish her, that I fired it at her. And that my attorney went crazy on that one. He said, oh, was it one of those ones that you shoot quails with? And everybody roared laughing. She just made an idiot out of herself. Since then, the government has not used her against me. She brought the most ridiculous accusations. And sometimes some demonic people get too overzealous, and they make fools of themselves, like she did. And then what?
Verse 12. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and
yeah,
children.
Yeah, so some fathers will actually sell their kids down the tube, and some kids will sell their fathers down the tube. Go ahead.
And children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Verse 13. You will be hated by all because of my name.
Okay. Because of my name. And his name is the Word of God. Now, people are just really hating us because we're putting the Word of God on windshields. We're passing it out on the streets. And the news media, which is part of the Antichrist movement, is the one that's causing people, they keep saying this is ridiculous, that we have to be, this is offensive to us. Well, they're offensive to us too, and we want them to shut their face. But so far here in the United States, we still have the freedom to speak out for the gospel. And even if we didn't, we still, according to the Word of God, must preach the gospel to every creature. And so it really doesn't matter what any 2-bit or 10-cent or penny politician says. We're coming in your face. We're going to come to you with the gospel in front of you. We're going to confront you with the gospel. We're going to take you to church whether you want to or not. You're dealing with a force here that believes in God. And if you believe in Satan, but we believe in God, and God is the most powerful force on earth and has already defeated Satan, and all of you weasels, all of you, are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, burning and being tormented forever. And so, you know, you say, well, you don't have any love. No, the Lord tells us to hate the devil, and to let him know with words from the Lord as to just what's going to happen to you, you fatherless bunch of people out there, which the word fatherless means bastard. You fatherless bastards out there in this world that would dare raise your voice against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, against his name, which is the Word of God, to hell with you in the name of Jesus. Then what? The wrath of God is coming upon you, and very soon. God's wrath. My words are true. The wrath of God is going to be on you. Then what?
But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved.
Okay, so if you're one that is going to endure to the end, only you will be saved. All those that don't believe in keeping God's commandments will be in the same lake of fire as the bastards, because they too are bastards. And that's why they hate the people, preachers of the gospel, is because we tell you what you are and what you ain't and what you're supposed to be, and prayerfully you will be. Alright? Now there's not enough love in your ministry because you hate God. You're haters of God and haters of the children of God, the people of God. And so therefore we've got one group of people hating, and we hate also. And you haters want everybody to mold into your different ungodly religions. And God tells us that we must keep ourselves separate and holy, completely away from these you false religions out there. You are not preaching the gospel as you should. Therefore, that makes me the world's greatest evangelist and pastor, because I'm telling the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right, then what? Now then, we go into verse 2.
And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars.
See, you're not to make any league. You're not to fellowship with any of the inhabitants of this land that does not believe in God, that are not the people of God. You say, well, man, that's just cruel, because you've been brainwashed into thinking that there's going to be peace on this earth. But when you start thinking that sort of way, then comes sudden destruction. Read the scripture from Daniel that I gave you just a few moments ago. It's talking about the Antichrist and the sudden destruction that's going to come, the wrath of God that's going to come upon the whole world, and very soon. Okay, read that. You're not to make league or to have anything to do with the false religions. And there's people that say that we need to love everybody and just pray for. The Lord never commands us to love the devil. And people that are of the devil, he commands us to hate them. Doesn't mean to go kill them like the Catholics kill Christians, or you bastards out there that are causing the people of the Lord to be incarcerated, and you're talking bad about them and making them look like a cult on television and radio and in your satanic magazines. But it's talking about us hating the deeds that you're doing, hating the fact that you're against the Spirit of the Lord and against God's people. But go ahead, read what it says about Daniel.
Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince.
At that time, it's talking about the last days, the end of time. Go ahead.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation.
Okay, this is talking about the wrath of God coming down on this earth, the great tribulations. Okay, then what does it say?
Such as never was since there was a nation.
It's not going to get any better. The way that things are today is a Sunday school picture. You better enjoy what we have now, because you people of the world, because it's not going to last. It's going to get worse and worse for you. It's going to be a time of trouble, a time of tribulation, a time of wrath, unparalleled in all history. And so you best get right with the Lord. Then what?
There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered.
Let's see, this is the end of time. And at the time when all these tribulations are coming down, the great tribulations, and the Bible says that the Lord, these are the ones that came through the great tribulations, the one that the Lord is taking up into the kingdom of heaven. And then it says in the Bible that the Lord first comes the great tribulations, and immediately after these tribulations, this trouble, then the Lord comes back to earth. Okay? That's what the Bible says. And so it doesn't say that he's going to deliver up his people, the elect, at that time, and he's not going to deliver them before we go through the tribulation. Now, some of you might die before that time, but the Lord is not coming back until immediately after the tribulations. And anybody that's telling you any different, they either don't know the Bible or they're just devils telling you not to prepare yourself or to keep yourself holy. And they're telling you that, oh, we can be bad and God will still forgive us. There is no scripture to that at all whatsoever. It states that if we commit sins that are sins of ignorance, that the Lord, if we ask for forgiveness and we repent, which means we never do them again, then the Lord will forgive them, but you have to be careful not to do them anymore. But if you just think that you can, and these are small sins, sins of that are not unto death, but adultery and a fornication and being a whoremonger or stealing and lying, these, you're not going to get by with that. You're not going to get by with those things at all. Okay, then what?
And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found, that shall be found written in the book.
Right, at that time, the time of the destruction, after the destruction, after the tribulations, after the desolation, it states that the wrath of God will come, and that the Lord at that time will deliver his people from his wrath. Just as he delivered the Hebrew children from the wrath of God that fell upon Egypt, and just as he delivered his people, Lot and his two daughters, from Sodom and Gomorrah before the wrath of God fell down on Sodom. Now that's what these people are saying, the wrath of God, but we won't be here. Well, Lot was here when the wrath of God fell on that city. Amen.
Amen.
And the Hebrew children were there when the wrath of God fell upon Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to be here too when the wrath of God falls on this earth. And it says so. The Lord's not coming back until after the tribulations, after this great desolation. After the great, where the devil, you're seeing the devil stand there, God is going to be pouring out desolation upon this earth. But it's not going to harm those that keep his commandments. And for people that can't even obey their husbands, or can't even obey those that have the rule over them, you're not going to be delivered from the wrath. You're going to catch some terrible disease, or you'll be out in a vehicle someplace and you're going to be smashed, or something is going to happen to you, because God has to show the rest of the church that his word is true. He's not going to let you get by with these things. Do you think?
No.
Okay, so a time of trouble, desolation, so much that what we're going through here on earth now is a Sunday school picnic. He's going to destroy. Destruction is going to come. Okay, then what?
But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this?
And people today are not obeying God's voice. They don't live. They usurp authority. They are not really that intent on listing what the instructions of the rulers of this earth are saying. That I'm talking about the godly rulers, not these of the present. These people are not the rulers of God. They are secular rulers, and we pray that they'll be saved. We're not to harm them, but we're to preach the gospel to them. And you see what they're doing in the news now. They are grabbing leaders that are trying to get people to rebel against the one world government, the Antichrist one world government, the cult, which is, they say is the church, and the media. And they see little groups starting up, and they say the way to get them is to just grab the leader and destroy him right away. And so that's what they're going to do to people that are preachers and teachers and the real authorities of God here on earth. But we to be true and to be faithful to the end, and those that are shall be saved. And you will not be saved. And so you want to toss that to and fro in your carnal, ignorant, stupid, dirt-made mind. Do that. But that won't do you any good, because your natural mind is not able to understand supernatural, spiritual matters. The Bible says that the natural cannot understand the spiritual, the supernatural. And therefore, you're not to actually think of whether you're supposed to do it or not. You're supposed to just do what the Bible says. Otherwise, if you toss to and fro in your mind what the leaders of God are saying to you, then you're going to fall right through yourself. Because first of all, even the most brilliant of minds are not able, and most of you are stupid, and even the most natural brilliant mind is still not able to understand the spiritual realm. And so the Lord doesn't expect you to reason. He's not the God where you can reason with him naturally. You have to receive what he says. He's a dictator. Just like when he talked to Abraham and told him to leave all his everything that he had, his house and everything, and go to another country. He just said, now wait a minute, you start reasoning, this would be very bad because my mom and dad are here and I've got a house and we just built the thing and it costs a couple of $100,000 and or $500,000 or $1 million, and I just can't leave all these worldly goods behind. And the Lord wants me to go and not even pack a suitcase. He doesn't want me. I mean, this can't be God, because that's not the human reasonable thing to do. So when your mind starts kicking it back and forth, just like we have a lot, everything over at our house out in the Texas area, in Arkansas area, and the Lord told me to come out to Los Angeles, and I'm living in a stinking hotel room now. And it's very inconvenient, because all the pleasures of the environment that the Lord allowed me to create for myself, where I really got everything comfortable and everything, I don't have that here. And I'm working as a handicapped person, because I'm like a fish out of water. But I know that that the Lord wants me here for a season. And so, and maybe forever, I don't know. Whatever he says, I can walk away from anything. I can walk away from anybody if I see they don't want to serve the Lord. And it really doesn't, because the main thing is for us to be doing what the Lord wants us to do on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, because the destruction is coming. And these are the last days. Let's read some more of these destruction coming scriptures that I outlined for you. Okay, let's go.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
The wrath of God to come. He has delivered us from the wrath of God. So just because the wrath of God is going to come down here on this earth, if we do what the Lord says, we will be delivered from his wrath to come. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Okay, it says he came into our spirits so that we could be delivered from the wrath that is surely going to come. And it's happening, and it's going to happen. God wants every one of you to start getting ready for it right now, because it's not ever going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. The Bible says that things shall wax worse and worse. And when they shall say, peace, peace, then cometh not slow destruction, but destruction is going to come like in a fraction of a second, just as it did with Egypt. The Lord said that water is going to turn to blood, and it did right away. It wasn't any slow thing. Everything turned to blood. Okay, then what?
Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation.
Great tribulation. When God said something is great, it's going to be so great that you're going to wonder why you never thought great was so great. That big was not so big. Receive me. I'm, according to the Lord, the greatest evangelist on the face of this earth. All right? Now, you know, Muhammad Ali says he's the greatest, but his head is all swollen up now. And so he's not the greatest anymore. And Mike Tyson, he's been knocked out. I have not been knocked out yet. I have not been knocked out of the saddle, and I've been going strong for 40 years. Okay, Tyson went for maybe 3 or 4 years, and maybe Ali went for 5 years or something. But I've endured for 40 years. And I'm stronger than they are, because the Lord said I'm strong, and that I'm a mighty warrior of the Lord, because I have gotten the gospel to kings, queens, presidents, governors, all over, and to anybody that comes in my path. All right? And then what? Now, this is great tribulations is coming.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
No, it'll never happen like this before. And immediately after this tribulations, this wrath of God, the Lord is going to come back and take the elect, the ones that he elects. He's the one that does the voting, him and him alone. Now, if he votes for you, you're in. But if he puts thumbs down on you, you're out. And that's just the way it really, really is. Okay, then what?
Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand.
And yeah, this is talking about the devil. Okay, then what?
And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many.
Yes, by saying peace, he will destroy many. Now, the whole many means, he says, the whole world is deceived. That means we're not of the world, because this world is not our home. Jesus said that this world is not my home. And the Lord tells us, love not the world. And all these evangelists, tele-evangelists, are saying, love the world. Anyone that says that the world, that's false doctrine, that they say the world is no good, that the earth is good. But the world system is Antichrist, all right? Now, when God developed and created the earth, it was good. He said everything that he created was good, amen?
Amen.
But there's a system that came into this world, which was the devil's system, because he deceived Eve. She was the one that was deceived, and that started the world system. And so the Lord tells us to not be part of that world system, to believe the Lord and to reject the world, the whole world system. Now, we live on earth, and it's God's earth, and anything that grows on this earth belongs to Him. All the gold, silver, platinum, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and all the different jewels that are in the earth, God made. It was not made by Satan or this world system. God is just allowing these devils to be here on earth and in hope that they will repent. But He knows that they won't, because He stated at the beginning that the whole world, the world system, is deceived. Because they received the world, they would not receive Him who created the earth and the fullness thereof and all the planets, everything that's in the universe, but they receive Him that is of the world, because they feel that they are friends of the world and they want the world to bless them, and the world itself is cursed and condemned and is on its way to hell. And so we who are not of the world are in the world, we're here on earth to pull as many people that the Lord allows us to witness to and to be good testimonies, to not just talk, but for them to see that we're honest, that we're true, that we're very fair in business, and that we don't go the way they want us to go. One person this morning, I wanted a new sound system in the church out here, and a man that put our sound system near the Texarkana area stated that he would fly out here because he knows that I paid him right on time, and I paid him up front some of the money, and he'll fly out here. And some guy that I talked to on the phone today said, well, you know, we'd have to get a consultation fee. Because after all, that's a 45-minute drive for us out there. And I said, hey, you, I said, you should call the people that I do business on. I spend several million dollars on building new buildings out in the Arkansas area and put in a new sound system and a whole television studio out there. And you don't trust me. I don't want to do any business with you. I'm not paying you any consultation. I don't want to do business with you at all. And I just hung up on him. He's in Sun Valley. So that will, I want to teach people that you don't do that to godly people. I told him my name was Tony Alamo, and maybe he doesn't like me because maybe one of my pieces of literature that told of what God said more than likely offended him. And it offends people when we do to them what the Bible says to do to them. To just slam the doors on in some cases. Children don't like it because that's why they're going to have their parents put to death. Because we are told to chasten them and to put them in line. And we, those of us that are really of the Lord, we do it. And that's just too bad. And they don't like it, and a lot of them leave and go to the service, and some of them are getting shot to pieces over there. They're just sending new battalions of Marines over there, and one of the people from the church just left. He turned 18, and he said, I'll show you, I'm not living under any discipline of the Holy Spirit. I want to go and do my own thing. And he joined the Marines, and I will just, I know, or I believe without a doubt, that that boy is going to be sent over there and more than likely get killed. And he really, the devil sold him a bill of goods that he has a right to be killed, and he's a righteous person. And the man is totally gone. Okay, and so read some more.
He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand.
Yeah, the prince of princes. He's going to stand up against Jesus and the people that Jesus are living in. Because when you're against a Christian, a true Christian, that is a person where Jesus is incarnate. He's living in them, in this carnal body of ours. So the Lord himself is carnate again in every body that he's living in. So Jesus wants us to know that he didn't live just in one carnal body, but he lives in many of us. Now, most of the people, the majority of the people that say they're Christians, the Lord does not live in them. And so they're not Christians. They're just you know, using Christianity, the name Christianity, for political reasons, or because maybe they want to be in government and they want the Christian people to vote for them, so they say they're Christian, but they also, out of the other corner of their mouth, say that I'm a man of war, like Bush does. And he is, he's obviously a man of war, and he is obviously sending more of our men and over to be killed. They say they're not letting them have enough ammunition. They want the United States to be so weak that they can just march in here and take it over, get rid of all the manpower. And for this, they hate me for saying that, but because it's the truth. All right, then what?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation.
See, we're not going to, the wrath of God, when it hits this earth, when the people are looking up and seeing the Christ, the wrath of the Lamb coming to this earth, this sudden destruction, they're going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath, the destruction, the annihilation of the Lord. But those of us that are saved will not have to hide from the wrath, because the Lord says that he came to deliver us, those of us in whom he lives. He delivers. He's not going to put wrath down on himself living in a human body. Do you think you would? But he won't either. He says he won't. He says he came to deliver us from the wrath. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to see the wrath of God hit this earth as never before. You've seen desolation, destruction, wrath of God on Florida. Three or four tornadoes hit it, one right after the other, and you see earthquakes in Japan and over in Montana and California and in many different places, diverse places. And so, you know, all the other stuff, hail, and just killing thousands upon thousands of people, earthquakes. This is the wrath of God. It isn't by happenstance. They say, well, there's like these different layers of earth and so. Well, yeah, but God made it that way for the time appointed, for the time that he has appointed for an earthquake. All right, then what?
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, by our Lord. How's that? What does that mean, by our Lord Jesus Christ? Because I know a lot of people that don't even know what it means that Jesus saves. Jesus saves means that if you come to him and do everything that's written in the Bible, that you'll be saved from going, you will not go to hell. That's salvation from the pit of hell and the lake of fire, that you will go into the kingdom of heaven. That's what that means. And then read that again, that last part.
But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, by, salvation comes by our Lord Jesus Christ, and his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, is actually the Word of God, by following the Word of God. By, first of all, by having your sins forgiven, then him living in you, and then you taking up a cross daily and daily denying yourself the things of this world that he doesn't want you to have, and then follow him. Now, there's a lot of things that is okay that we go to enjoy the sun once in a while. I mean, I look as pale as a ghost because I don't get outside to suntan that much, or hardly ever. And there's a lot of other things. And all things are lawful for me to do things like that, and to go to a grocery store, to occasionally to go to a restaurant. But most of the time, you know, when I'm at the house in out in Arkansas, I eat at home. You know, it's very convenient for me, and I don't have to worry about some spittle in my food from some homosexual that's working in the back that has AIDS. I don't have to worry about this. Some people don't even think about stuff like that, but it's a reality. All right, then what?
Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Okay, so the hour of temptation, if you yield, if you go for the temptation, then the wrath of God is going to come to you. But the Lord, if you keep his word, then he'll keep you from the... And we're living in the hour of temptation now. You see pornography everywhere, on signboards, on book covers, magazine covers. I don't see it because I can't see that good, and I thank God for it. The Lord has delivered me from that hour of temptation. But you that have good eyes, he hasn't delivered you from it. You have to willfully remove your eyes from it. But it's doubtful that many of you will. And don't think that I'm trying to preach doubt. Remember, Joshua said, you people are not going to serve the Lord. Was he sowing doubt in them? No, he knew from the Lord that they weren't going to serve the Lord. And so he told them that right at the end of Joshua. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what? And I'm saying the same thing about some of you. Some of you will not. Because you have good eyes, you like to just keep your eyes full of adultery and fornication and lust. And that's you. Okay, then what?
Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow.
Now this is the actual symbolic of the Antichrist kingdom. He is pretending like he's Christ sitting on a white horse, but he's not Christ. And the Lord says, beware that there fall many false Christs, many false prophets. This is the hour that this is talking about. It's world conditions here. All right, he's on a white horse. He's imitating Christ. But he doesn't have a sword. He has a bow. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord carries the sword. Amen?
Amen.
The devil fires fiery darts with his bow. Amen?
Amen.
This is the devil. Okay, the Antichrist spirit. And then what?
And a crown was given unto him.
Yeah. In other words, this demonic power rules the world. The system, the world system. The people that believe in the worldly government, cult, church, and the media, that believe and receive everything they see. And they believe in yielding to temptation. This is the world system. Okay, then what?
And he went forth conquering and to conquer.
Conquering one's, deceiving the whole world with his false teachings and his scum bucket teaching. Then what?
Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon.
That's bloodshed. That's because of this false Antichrist ruler. He makes it to where there's bloodshed. The red horse represents blood, because blood is red. Then what?
And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another.
See, bloodshed. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the red horse is bloodshed. Then what? Now, there's no peace on earth now, except those of us that know that if the breath goes out of our body, that we have peace knowing that we're going to be in heaven, because we're continuing on a daily basis in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And there was given unto him a great sword.
A great sword to kill and to cause bloodshed. Then what?
Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny.
This is symbolic of the famine that's going on in the earth today. There is approximately 5 to 4, maybe 6 billion people, and well more than half of them have never known what it's like to have a full stomach. Many of them are dying. They say thousands die every day because they don't have enough food in their stomach. And it's absolutely ridiculous because Satan is causing famine. This Antichrist movement, they pay the farmers billions of dollars every year to not grow fruit and vegetables, which they could grow and give to all these people that are hungry. Amen?
Amen.
Why not pay the farmers to grow fruit and vegetables to give it to the poor and the needy? Then God would bless the earth. All right, then what?
And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
A pale horse. This is death. This is destruction, desolation, the wrath of God. All this, as Satan is creating all this stuff, and so God's going to come and kill everybody that is doing these things because they refuse to repent. Go ahead.
And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him.
It's not only death, but it's also hell, the lake of fire, for all these bastards, from the white horse, the false white horse, the false rider, to this death, all the death that's happening here on earth, and hell, because God is sending them to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth.
With hunger, the sword, hunger, and what?
Death, and with the beasts of the earth.
Yeah. And the Lord is going to turn the beasts of the earth. They originally were to be fearful of man, but because man is not fearful of God, God takes the fear of man out of animals, and they know they're stronger than we are, and they're going to attack us, except those of us that are filled with the Spirit of the Lord and keeping His commandments. But even house cats and dogs will turn on their masters and go for their throat. Eagles and vultures and all sorts of different birds. The whole creation is going to go crazy because the creation, God's creation of man, has gone crazy. So crazy they hardly listen to anything of what's going to transpire, or what has transpired as well.